Okay, we have the privilege this morning of having Dan David with us. He and his family have been ministering for years to the Muslim community, and they were in Syria for a very long time. They're not there anymore. They can't be there. They're now back in the States, and we have supported them for a long time, and he and I were in communication off and on about him coming out here and finally nailed it down. So he's here this morning with us to share what God's doing through him and his family and how God's ministering to that Muslim community around the world. And so I look forward to him sharing. Dan, thanks for being here, man. We appreciate it.
Good morning. Well, I wonder if any of you have any idea what we might be talking about today. Do you have any thought on that? Let's see. Let's put this down here. It is great to be here. And, you know, I really like this jacket, but some people don't like it, and it distracts them. So I'm going to take it off. And if your mind wanders, you can pray over countries here, okay? So, there we go. All right. It's great to be here. I feel like I have come back home. I think it's in the bulletin, but my wife and I were married here, and this was her home church. And by the way, you all have supported us since 1990 or 91, and we are very grateful. And you know, it says in Luke 16:9, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "And I say to you, make friends with worldly wealth, so that when it runs out, they may receive you into eternal dwellings." And some of you are going to go into eternity, and you will be welcomed by Syrians that you've never met, who came to Christ through your prayers and your giving and the work. So thank you so much. And before we get started, we have a commercial. I have a book table in the back. He introduced me and I jumped up. And let's do that after the commercial.
Okay.
Commercial, then the video. Here we go. All right. I have a book table in the back. So if you don't see me around the patio, just come to the book table. And I forgot to get a pad of paper, but if you'd like to receive our prayer updates, please write down your name and your email for me. And on the book table, there's a whole lot of free things like this origami. It's the only one of the only Japanese words I know, and it opens like this. And if you're like me, it'll take you a year to figure it out, but take one of those. And then some other really good stuff on the table. Two books I want to highly recommend to you that are on the table for a donation. One is Muslims, Christians, and Jesus. And this book is a great way to learn about Islam that's not boring. Notice I look over here. It's not boring. And it will inspire you. And I'll share this. I'm the son of a Baptist pastor. Don't hold it against me because I became a Christ follower anyway. But it's never a good thing when a Baptist pastor prophesies. And my dad would get my report card and he'd prophesy over me, "You're going to grow up to be a trash collector." And here I am. Oh, never mind. But anyway, both of these books are on my level. That means they're easy reading, kind of like the video we're about to see. And then this book, it's called Miraculous Movements. It's about how thousands and thousands of Muslims have come to Christ in disciple-making movements. And I might say more about that, but excellent book. So please see me at the book table, get the free stuff, and pick up these books. And now we have a special video.
The carrot seed. A little boy planted a carrot seed. His mother said, "I'm afraid it won't come up." His father said, "I'm afraid it won't come up." And his big brother said, It won't come up. Every day the little boy pulled up the weeds around the seed and sprinkled the ground with water. But nothing came up. And nothing came up. Everyone kept saying it wouldn't come up. But he still pulled up the weeds around it every day and sprinkled the ground with water. And then, one day, a carrot came up, just as the little boy had known it would.
Yes, and that leads us to our scripture today. And before we get into that, let's pray. Father, we thank you, the Lord of the harvest, that you are doing great and awesome things around the globe. Thank you for your invitation to us to partner with you. Lord, be with us now. Open your word to us. Open our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you look in your bulletin, we have the passage of Scripture. And there are some, there's a place where you can take notes. And I'm saying that because I want you to learn three things today, go away with three things to know and three things to do. But let's read the scripture, the parable of the seed growing. It says, "And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Well, let's begin this morning with what we know. We already know Matthew 28, 18 to 20, which says, Jesus is speaking and says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then we know Revelation 5:9, where it actually comes true. Jesus has purchased men, women, and children by his blood from every tribe, tongue, people, nation. Everyone say that with me. Every tribe, tongue, people, nation. So today is 2013. How are we doing? And there are couple maps I'd like you to see. When I speak to children, I say that this is my treasure map. My family makes fun of me for the way I say treasure. It's normal to me, but can you put the map up there? This is produced by the Southern Baptist, and the red represents unreached people around the globe. And if you look at that, you can see we have a lot of work to do in India and across here. And this one is based on population, but if you can put the next one up, that's kind of where our work is today. And then if I could have Zane and Jonathan come up and help me. Now in Revelation, it says they couldn't find anyone who was worthy to open the seals and the scroll. We'll see if these guys are worthy. Okay, one needs to hold it on one end and the other on the other end. And you, yeah, there you go. Ron, have you seen this? Debbie? Okay. This is made by Wycliffe Bible Translators, and these are all the languages without the Bible. The bad news is we have some work to do. The good news is probably about the same number as are represented here have the scripture or portions of the scripture in their own language. Also, the good news is we know what the names of the languages are and we know where they are. And even better news is Wycliffe Bible Translators, in conjunction with others, are wanting to finish and be in every language by the year 2025. When I look at this, it reminds me that we need to get behind Ron and Debbie Fuqua and get them sent out and continue to encourage them. If you guys could just lay that there. Would you guys thank them for their help? They had about a 2-minute warning on that. You can come up and look at it later as well. So we've done a lot of good work, but we are not finished yet. And so what we do is, as in this parable, it says the man goes out and he scatters the seed. And it's a very interesting parable because God is not explicitly mentioned in the parable. And the subject of the parable is us. We go out, we scatter the seeds. And this reminds me of our work as a family in Syria for almost 15 years that you all were supporting us through. And by the way, if you guys are thinking, you know, if you go overseas and you do this kind of work, you know, your wife's not going to be that good looking. I want you to know, my wife is a babe. And there she is. There's my family. They're all doing well. And Paula would be here today, except she helps run 150 kids' children's ministry at our church. So anyway, but she greets you and she also extends her thanks. So we as a family were in Syria and we were scattering the seed. And I remember getting into taxis where at the time it was like about $1 for a taxi ride. And the man would say, "Are you a Muslim?" And I'd say, "Well, let me share with you my testimony," using the word that the Muslims use for their creed that they say. And I said, "La taqulu ala Allah illa al-haq. Innama al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam Rasulullah wa kalimatuhu alqaha ila Maryam wa ruhun minhu fa aminu billah. Sadaq Allah al-Azim." Did you get all that? Which translated means, don't say anything about God except the truth that Jesus, the Son of Mary, is the Rasulullah. That means the messenger of God. This is the title for Muhammad. And he's a spirit given to Mary, the spirit of God given to Mary, and the word of God given to Mary, and a spirit from God. And so I'd share that in the text, and I'd say to the taxi driver, "So what do you say about me?" And sometimes they'd say, "Well, you're a Christian." I'd say, "Well, I just quoted the Quran." Or other times they'd say, "Oh, you're a Muslim." And I'd say, "Yeah, but this verse speaks about Jesus, how he's the messenger, the prophet of God, how he's the word of God, how he's the spirit from God." And anyway, we would do the scattering in Matthew 4:24 says, "And the news about Jesus went into all Syria." That was 2,000 years ago. Did we lose it?
Next one's red.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, okay, hold that thought. Let's go there. So while we were in Syria, we were working on the Middle East peace process. And we did it one person at a time. The next one. And some of you might know that Syria is in a horrible, horrendous civil war. And the boy in the picture with my son is, his name's Hassan. He's now about 10. And he regularly hears gunfire and explosions. And it's the Middle East peace process is not going well because they don't have Jesus yet. So anyway, in Matthew 4:24, it says, "And the news about Jesus spread throughout all Syria." And that was 2,000 years ago. Today, it's not so, but that was our dream, and we scattered the seed. And for 15 years, we had a ministry of sowing in tears. So I called it the Psalm 126 ministry. "Those who sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro carrying his bag of seed weeping will for sure come again with a shout of joy, bringing his harvest with him." Well, we did a lot of sowing in tears. And after a while, we decided in the year 2003 that we were going to have a year of prayer. And we took turns as God's team. That means we got everyone who was in Syria, who at the time, back then the country was about 18 million people, and all the workers there to share Jesus numbered less than most churches, bigger churches, have on their staff for the whole country. So we had, you know, on a given day, 10 to 20 people. And we took turns fasting through the whole year of our year of prayer, 2004. And we spread it out through the God's team. So we had Frontiers, OM, Pioneers, Southern Baptists, everyone who was there. And we took turns praying. I don't know who fasted on Thanksgiving or who fasted on Christmas, but somehow we covered the year. And we also wanted to have 52 prayer teams come through and pray over the country each week of the year. We knew of 40-something prayer teams, and we don't know if there were others that came, but we pretty much had prayer in Syria the whole year, prayer and fasting going on. And we also produced a prayer guide and a video, and the video was in a few major languages, but as we were producing this prayer guide in the year 2003, the first day says, "God's sovereign blessing on Syria," and then it has three prayer requests. And the last one says, "Pray that God will use gospel media materials available in local bookstores, book fairs, and cinemas to introduce Syrian peoples to Jesus." And while we were writing and producing this, we had no idea that a man named Mel Gibson was putting the final touches on a movie called The Passion of the Christ, and that it would show in the downtown cinema to pack theater for a month during our year of prayer. And that is so cool because God was answering our prayers before we prayed them. And he's answering them now, and he will answer them into the future. But and during that year, a good friend of ours came to Christ, and his life was changed. Years went by. He found a believing wife, also from a Muslim background. They have a son. They're in Syria. Just a few weeks ago, he was almost blown up in the civil war. It's a very desperate time there. But he's walking with the Lord. His wife is walking with the Lord. And we saw just the beginning of some first fruits. And I'll say a little bit more about that later. So there are three things I'd like you to know today. And the first one is that God invites you to partner with him. In this harvest, in this idea of scattering seeds, God invites you to join him. What I do now with Frontiers is I recruit people to go to the Muslim world and to work a career and to share Jesus. And that means I'm interested in sending all of you to the Muslim world. And if you're not ready to go, that's okay. I'll take your children and your grandchildren. Deal? And you guys sitting over here, I want to send you to the Muslim world to share Jesus as well. And it's a lot of fun, but it's a big challenge. The second thing I want you to know today is, and the scripture. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And then in John chapter 15, we're told, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And then again, John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And so God is inviting us into this partnership. Then the next thing I'd like you to know is God doesn't have to explain how this harvest works. I'll say a little bit more about that in a few moments. And then finally, I would like you to know, am I going too fast if you're writing these down? God is harvesting all over the Muslim world. And I'd like to share some things with you right now about that harvest. Did you know that there have been countries where there have been significant turnings to Christ? So we have a Muslim country named Albania, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, where significant numbers have turned to Christ. Did you know that in the last 10 to 20 years, more Muslims have come to Christ than in the 1400 years leading up to it? More Muslims are coming to Christ today in 2013 than at any other time in history. Today we have documented 25 people movements among Muslims where hundreds and probably thousands have come to Christ. And a people movement means is it's spreading virally. And Muslims are coming into the kingdom. It's all with great suffering, persecution, and challenge. But if you really want to be people of this book, you can't read the New Testament without seeing suffering, persecution, martyrdom, and challenge. And so many of you are praying for Pastor Saeed in Iran right now. Sentenced to 8 years of prison. They've even thrown out the possibility of death for the simple crime of loving Jesus and sharing him in Iran. But there's good news as well. I was with an expert on Iran, an Iranian himself who came to Christ out of a Muslim background. He said that conservative estimates are 1 million followers of Christ in Iran. 1 million. And he said it's more like 2 or 3 million Iranians who've left their background of Islam and they follow Jesus now. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, it's incredible. And God is doing great and incredible things before our eyes. Habakkuk 1:5 says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am doing something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. It's amazing what God is doing. And I can't even tell you all of it. Muslims are coming to Christ through dreams and visions. You can see their testimonies on the internet. It's a fantastic time to be living. Well, there's three things I would like you to do today. Now, what I love about this book is this book talks about disciple-making movements, and it has an emphasis on obedience-based discipleship. You see, we in the West, we are knowledge-based discipleship. So if we learn new things, if we come here And Pastor Charlie gives us something we've never heard before. I'm growing in Christ. I learned something new. But the real way to grow in Christ, and I think it's more biblically based, is Jesus said, teaching them to observe and to obey all that I commanded you. And so we grow in Christ when we obey his commands, not when we just learn new things. And so what I would like you to put to action this week, three things. And the first thing I would like to ask you to do is I'd like to ask you to accept God's invitation to partnership. Will you join him in making this be covered with the glory of God as we're seeing happen before our eyes? He's going to do it with or without us, so you might as well join him and get eternal credit and reward for it. The second thing I'd like to challenge you to do is learn about your role. And that's why I brought a book table. That's why in your notes there are two websites that you can go to pray specifically for countries and for unreached people groups and unengaged peoples where no one is there to share Jesus with them, which actually will be in my third point, but also in the second point, how many of you have taken the course Perspectives on the World Christian Movement? One? Okay. Don't let Ron and Debbie go until they take it too. Well, actually, you'll be going before that, but next year, 2014, it will be offered at Kings Harbor Church, I believe, just down the road. Please forget about a short-term trip overseas. Take Perspectives first. It will blow your doors off. It will open you up to the heart of God and how he longs for his glory to cover the globe. So the third point I'd like you to challenge you with is to take these websites and to pray this week for unreached and unengaged people groups. As we pray, God does things. In a week from tomorrow, Paula and Joseph, Eileen and I are headed to the Middle East to be in a prayer summit. We will gather with people who are working in the Muslim world, so people coming from all over the Muslim world to pray in the Middle East for the Muslim world in the Muslim world. Now, in preparation for this prayer time, we've been fasting and we've been having Skype prayer meetings where I get up in the morning and I pray with people all over the world for this prayer time. So when we get there and we come to pray, do you think God is going to move? Yeah, and we're going to ask him for nations, and he's going to give them to us. 3 years ago, we do this every year and a half. 3 years ago, we were doing it, and God told us what he was going to do in the Arab Spring. I'm a Baptist, so when they say, well, I got a picture and God said this, I'm like, oh, really? I'll believe that when I see it. And the pictures God gives us actually happen. And to tell you the truth, I've become a Bapticostal. Is that okay? And so I went to Tunisia. I was planning to go there. Tunisia had blown up. The Arab Spring had come. The country was in revolution. I'm praying about going. I write, and I tell the prayer team, should I still come? They write back and say, the tear gas is doable. So I'm about to go. I wake up in the morning. I'm thinking of going the next day, and Paula comes in, and I'm in bed, and she said, hey, now one of those guys is asking you to go to Libya. And I don't usually change my plans at the last minute to go to one of the most closed countries on earth. I'm like, okay, well, I'll pray about it. And I was able to fast that day, ask God. God said, go. So I'm fasting, and I'm praying, and God said, go to Libya. I go to Libya. I go back to Tunisia for prayer for Libya, and one of these ladies has this picture, and she says, I see two columns, with a bridge. And she says, the columns are coming down and the bridge is coming down. And the meaning was, Tunisia and Egypt are going to fall and Libya will fall. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a Baptist. I was just there. It's a closed country under the iron fist of Muammar Gaddafi, whatever. Tunisia came down, Egypt came down, Libya came down, just the way God had told us. I'm becoming a Bapticostal. And God is doing other things. I wish I had more time. I'll close with this story. In the fall, we had two of our men arrested, and they were put in jail in a difficult country, a very, very difficult country. And while they were in jail, the American was released a week or two later. Well, days and months went by, or weeks went by, and this Swiss brother was held in jail. At first, he couldn't see his family. He was in solitary confinement. Then they let his family come and visit him, but they would not allow them to speak Swiss German. They said, either English or Arabic, we want to understand what you're saying. Well, more time went on. Then they loosened up. They allowed them to speak Swiss German, and the father and the son related information back and forth. And at day 60, the father said to the son, would you relay this message? I'm asking Frontiers as a worldwide community to fast and pray for 3 days for my release. Now, some of you think people like me are super spiritual. And you think, oh, when he fasts, he doesn't get hungry. He doesn't get grumpy or grouchy. I get hungry, I get grumpy, I get grouchy. And we're not super spiritual. This is the first time in 30 years where I can remember that we prayed, fasted and prayed for 3 days. What day do you think the man was let out of prison on? The third day. And he was on his way on the fourth day. The story doesn't end there. It's a happy ending. I wish it ended there. Weeks later, more than 150 of the workers in that country were kicked out. Now imagine, you've sold all your possessions, you've said goodbye to your family, your church family, your friends, your country. You've invested everything, and in a moment, all your work, you have to leave. Your children are uprooted, your lives are uprooted. But the story doesn't end there. Last June, I was in candidate school, and I met a man about my age. He was really young. And I said to him, tell me about yourself. He said, well, I was a professional bull rider for 20 years, and 10 of those years, I was a youth pastor. And he's headed to this very difficult country, and he said to me, I think bull riding and youth pastoring prepared me. And this is our great God. And finally, I didn't get to tell you, when Paul and I were in Syria, some of you received our prayer letters. Every prayer letter we said, pray for one Syrian family to come to Christ. Every team meeting for 15 years, we put aside a piece of bread and a cup. And we prayed and asked God for one family to come to Christ. Civil wars happened. I'm on a Skype prayer meeting, and my former teammate in Jordan said to me about a month ago, two families came to Christ this week. A couple weeks later, three families came to Christ. As far as I know, hundreds of Syrians have come to Christ. Now, how did God do that? Remember, point number two is that God doesn't have to explain. God brought Syrians to himself by shaking the nation. And I don't like that. It's been painful. It's been horrific. But I'm not God. He is God, and he shakes the nations for his glory. And I wish I could tell you more about all that he is doing, but that's a start. And I want to challenge you, don't leave here without accepting his invitation to partner, to see his glory cover the globe as the waters cover the sea. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are bringing nations and families of the earth and every tribe, tongue, people, nation that you have bought with your blood will be in eternity worshiping the Lamb with us. Thank you, Lord. Cause us to follow you and to accept your great invitation to partnership. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.